We are at the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Nisuch Hamayim Ketzat. We mentioned at the beginning of the Perek about Nisuch Hamayim. So the Mishnah goes on to explain how is it done. Tzlechishol Zov Marzekes Shleish Lugin Hayim Emalem in Ashileach. They would go and they would take a golden flask which contained 3 lug, and they would fill it up from the Shileach, which was a stream just outside or nearby. Higiu l'shar hamayim. They brought it into the Beis HaMikdash through the Shar Hamayim, and the Mefarshim explained it was called Shar Hamayim because of this ceremony which was done, that the Mayim which was brought for the Nisach Hamayim from the Shaleach, it was called the Shar Hamayim. Taku v'iri v'taku. They did a tzkiya, a trua, and a tzkiya. And we'll see. Rashi says, "Mishum simcha dechsev ushabtim mayim b'sasim." Okay. Ola b'kevish. When they would do, how did they do the nisach hamayim? So they would go up. They would ascend the ramp. Ola b'kevish uponer l'smoiloi. So usually we know that one ascends the ramp. Usually one turns to the right. But here, uponer l'smoiloi. This was one of the exceptions. They would turn to the left. Shnei svalim shel kesef ayusham, and there were 2 jugs, containers of silver there, and one of them was going to be for the nisach hayayin, and one is going to be for the nisach hamayim. Reb Yehuda aymer shel sid hayu. He says it was not made of kesef, but rather it was of sid. It was of lime and plaster. Elisha hayu mushcharin pnei hayayin. But it just had a dark complexion because of the yain. Rashi says, "V'daimin lekesef shushachar min asid." It's darker than sid. And the Gemara is going to explain the reason why both of them had this color, even though one of them is used for mayim and only one of them is used for yain. So why is the one which is used for mayim? Why did that become dark? And the Gemara is going to say because at times they would mistakenly pour yain into the one which was supposed to be of mayim, and therefore at times it would become darkened. Umenu kovin kimin shnei chimtin dakin. And it had a hole, like 2 chitmim dakin. Rashi says, chitim echad b'seifel, v'nekav echad b'chitmai. So there was like a spout, and then there was a hole, like literally like nostrils of sorts. Echad m'uva v'echad dak. And one of them was thicker than the other. What was the purpose? One of them was thick. The one which was thick was the one of yayin, and the one which was very fine was the one of mayim. Why? Kadeshu shneim kolin b'vasacha. So this way, it would kind of drop down and finish at the same time. Obviously, because the viscosity of wine is different to mayim. It's that much thicker, so therefore they needed to ensure that they would synchronize when it would finish, and therefore they would make adjustments to the size of the holes, so they would finish at the same time. Maravishalmayim, the one which was further west, was the one which was used for the mayim, for the nisach hamayim. Mizrachi shal yayin, the one further east, was the one which was used for yayin. Now, ira shal mayim, batir shal yayin. So if they made a mistake and they got too confused and they poured one into the other, b'di'eved it is yatsa. It's okay. And could very well be that because there wasn't such a kpeda, if you mistakenly poured the yain into the mayim one or the mayim into the yain one, that could be the reason why we mentioned before in the Mishnah that both of them had a silver-like appearance, because mistakes were common to the extent that mistakes were allowed. If you know that you're allowed to make a mistake, you're going to be less careful, less medactic, and so on. Fine, that was the Tanakhama. Reb Yehuda comes along and disagrees twofold. Reb Yehuda aymer b'lug ayim anasech. The nisach hamayim was done with not with 3 lug in it, but with 1 lug. Number one. Number 2, kol shmeina. It was done even on Shmini Atzeres. Whereas the Tanakhama says it is 7 days and it's 3 lug. Rabbi Yehuda says One lug, 8 days. Now, ule menasich oimer. And the one who is involved in doing the nisach, ule menasich oimer, the one who's doing the nisach amayim, oimer lo, they would say to him, hagbe yadcha, lift up your hands. So Rashi says, about 10 lines down, 12 lines down, hagbe yadcha, shenira, shetitan amayim beseifel. So that we can clearly see that you're pouring the mayim into the basin. Lafi shatzdeikim ein meidin minisach amayim. Because the tzedekim don't agree to the whole concept of nisach amayim. As we mentioned, it's not mefurish bakra. It's lachamish misinai, and they don't hold of it. Shepam achas nasach tzedeki echad es amayim al raglav. One time, instead of pouring it into the seifel, he didn't want to do that. He poured it onto his legs, and as we saw from Maseches Yuma, when we spoke about, there was a tzedeki who had a particular taiva in the makta the k'teris as per the custom of the tzedekim, ad k'deim esiris nefesh v'ad b'chlal. They were very passionate that things should be done their way. So in order to ensure that the particular kohen on duty was not a secret tzedeki, they would say, lift up your hands, let's see the water go down into the correct place. Meaning they realized, they detected he was a tzedeki. And they pelted him with esregim. They pelted him to death. It's a discussion if they only used esregim, or do they also use avonim. Parenthetically, I didn't see anyone who explained why and based on which pasuk and which din did this tzedeki, was he mechuyev misa. In other words, you know, you're wrong, it's aser, you're never going to work in this place ever again, all that good stuff. But in other words, does that mean that they were justified in killing him? No one seems to be ma'ira that that was an issue or a problem. So I'm just not sure exactly what's the, you know, if that's a davar pashut. The Mefarshim say that he died from it, and therefore there's a din, you know, could you die just from being pelted, but with a esregim, surely he must have used also avonim. So, al-koponim, so that was that. Says the Mishnah, k'maseh b'chol kach maseh b'shabbos. A similar thing was done on Shabbos. Ela shahayim emalem erev Shabbos. Chavish shol zav, she'ed mukadashis min ha-shilayach. They would go and they would take a golden chavis, which did not have kedusha. Meaning you could not be memala from the shaleach on Shabbos, because you wouldn't be able to take from the Kabbalist, or Shasarabim, and do various haitzah problems. So they would have to go in Erev Shabbos, but they would use a non-consecrated vessel. They would use a chavis al zav, she'ena mukudashis. Rashi says, loya nischancha la'avedis mizbeach. Should take kedusha la klisharis, that it should now have a din of klisharis, the kaimalan. The Gemara says in Yuma, kala kelim sha'asim meishim mishichasim kachasim. Kelim in the time of Moshe, they would be meishich, they would pour oil on it. Mikan the elech, henceforth, avidasim mishanchasim, through using it for avidah, it became a klisharis. And the Gemara will explain why did they specifically use a keli which did not have kedusha's klisharis. So we'll see later on. Al-Koponim, when they place that in the Lishka, Nishbacha, if it spilt, they add in Oyin is Galsa, or it became, Megula became revealed, then Hayim Amala Min HaKiyar. Then B'dieved, they would end up using the Mayim Min HaKiyar, as opposed to the Mayim which was taken from the Shlech. So ideally, you're supposed to use the Mayim from the Shlech. The Gemara is going to ask, at least according to Rashi, why the necessity of using mayim from the Me'ah Shileach specifically. Al-Koponim b'dieved, if it spilt or it became revealed, they would use the mayim from the Kiyar, Shehayayim v'mayim begulim psulim l'gavim mizbeach. So, if you look at Rashi, last Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says, Shehayayim v'mayim begulim mizgala hainu taima dimimala min ha-Kiyar. Why? Okay, perhaps a snake had a little sip. The ho'eres mu'urven. So the snake drunk. He drank some water, and perhaps he replaced and put in. He put into the water some of his poison. Nimtze she'ena menasech mayim kishir. Shari ha'eres mashlim l'shiyuren. So actually says an interesting reason as to why it's possible. Not because this is now poisonous water and that's not roile mizbeach. It's just a technical thing. You're just lacking the shear because he had a little sip of water and he replaced it with the eres which was in his mouth. Teza says a different shot. Teza says, Shehayayin mamayim agulim slumagavim mizbeach shemashosim mehen anafash eres ma'urav v'mayim animtsashin amenasach mayim kishir shari ha'eres mashlim mishin kech perish bakuntris. That's all good and well according to the Havamina, the Parech, the Navirenu, Bimsanenes. But we say, why can't you go ahead and kind of sift it out? Again, different viscosity between poison and Mayim, and you're able to be Misanen it. Avolafia Maskana. But according to the Maskana, says Thesis, that's not the reason why. Mefashino and Mishim Hakriveu no la Fecha Secha. The reason why is because you can't use something of an inferior quality for the Mizbeach. That's the reason why you can't use it. So, again, Rashi is saying the reason is because of it's lacking in the shear. Teza says because of the pasuk of Hakriveu na le'fechasecha. There is an interesting din in the Peskim. What is the din halach l'maisa if a person has an esrog and they keep it under their bed? They keep it under their bed. Now we know, based on the Gemara Pesachim and Kufi Beis, that if there's Eichon and Mashkin, which is Tachas Amito, the Gemara says that a Ruach Ra is Shelet Aleihem. And there's a Dion as to whether or not one is able to use it, B'di'eved or not. Lamaisa, there is certainly Ar Mekila in the Pesach Tshuva in Kuf Tel Zayin, quotes from the Shvus Yaakov. It was Mekel B'di'eved, and many paskim like that, Halach L'maisa, and so on, Al-Kaponim. What is the din with an esrog which is underneath the bed? So there are those who want to bring a raya from our sugya that such an esrog may be used. Because here we have Machlikas Rashi Tesis, what's the reason why there's a psul of if it's Gilui? Rashi says that the reason is because it's lacking in the shear. Tesis says the reason is because of Hakriveu, and so on. That, you know, in order to something which is not mechubadik, we should not use it for the mizbech. So in the Tshuvas Ein Yitzchak, he says, you know, why could Rashi and Tesis not say that the reason why is because this is not something which is edible? And the Gemara says in many places, we learn that from the concept, from the pasuk of Mashke Yisrael, min hamutar li Yisrael. And if it's not mutar li Yisrael, and here it's not mutar l'Yisrael, you're not allowed to drink this because it's poisonous. Therefore, it's aser to drink and so on. Why didn't they say that that's the reason why? Zakdi ein yitzhak. Alamai, from here it's muchach. She'ein lifsa lahakrova eladover shepsule lahachila mitzad atzmoy. Aval dover shepsule rakmachmas sakonis eres of anachash. Ein lepaisle. That is not a reason to. That's not a reason to passel it. Ein lepoisle machmas kein lakrava. I mean, it's only that it has an intrinsic problem, an intrinsic psul, as opposed to if it's because of sakana. Hence, the reason why Rashi and Tesis had to come on to other reasons, other psulim, and they couldn't learn out from the din of Mashki Yisrael. Fine. Al kaponim. That is the din of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara Menani Mili. Now here we have an interesting machlekes Rashi Tesis. As to what exactly is the shayla of the Gemara. Rashi learns, Menani Mili, the Teikinu Mirin, V'she'iva Samayim Shal Nisach. Why do you do a Tarat when you're Shayiv the Mayim, when you do the Nisach HaMayim? Menani Mili, Amr V'einad Amr Krav Shavta Mayim B'Sasayinu. Because one is supposed to be in a matzav of Sasayinu, as she says, I'm sorry, Rashi says this Vaitav, meaning it's supposed to be a happy, joyous occasion, and you know, although this pasuk in Yeshaya is not explicitly referring to this, but it's certainly a smach ladavar that the Nisach HaMayim should be done in a joyous state. Hence, you have a tarat. Taisus says very interesting.
Rabbi, where is the tkia or the trua mentioned in Yeshaya? Not mentioned. No?
Correct. No, it doesn't mention a tarat over there. But we do find that you know, even though a trua is a type of bechi of sorts, but the tkia, and the fact that there's a tkia before and a tkia afterwards, even though there's some type of breakage in between, but it shows that we start the simcha, we end the simcha, and therefore tarat was often done. There is a discussion: was this done with shayfris? Was this done with a chatzitzris and so on? You know, shayfris to be ma'ir pachad and harada. To use the question of the pasuk in Amos, which says that hayiska shayfir hamle illa yichradu. So there is a din that maybe it's referring to with chatzitzris and so on. But al-Kapanim, usually we say that is considered to be a joyous sound. That is the way Rashi learns. Taisus says, "Menani mili to take in a marine b'shivas ma'am shal nisuch kach peisha kuntres va'oid yesh lafarish." The minolan the mehashiloyach boy. Question is specifically the mehashiloyach. Why specifically use the mehashiloyach? Umefarish medichsev mi mine hayeshua. Because it says mi mine Yeshua. Well, where do you see from the word mine hayeshua anything to do with mehashiloyach? Where do you see that? So the Tesis Rabbeinu Peretz adds a few words, and he says, meaning it's from the Me'ah Shiloyach. That's where they would be. That's where the Meshicha was done for Malchus Beis David, and that is a place where Yeshua comes to Klal Yisrael. That's why one uses the Me'ah Shiloyach specifically. Says the Gemara, very interesting Gemara. Hanu tre mini. There were two minim, two heretics. Chad shmei sasin, chad shmei simcha. One was called sasin and one was called simcha. Omer le sasin le simcha. Sasin said to simcha, ana adif neminach. I'm better than you. Meaning I, sasin, the concept of sasin is better than the concept of simcha. Ana adif neminach. Dichsev sasin le simcha yasigu. So pasha pshat is that it prefaces Sasan to Simcha. So, you know, Pasuk in Yeshaya, Upaduye Hashem Yeshuvun, Uval Atzin Barina, Visimcha Seyelam Al Reisham, Sasan Visimcha Yasigu, Vanasu Yagin Vanacha. So, Sasan comes before Simcha. So, Amalei Simcha to Sasan, so Simcha said to Sasan, not so fast, I know Adif Naminach, I'm better than you, because we have a Pasuk in Megillas Esther. So you see that the pasuk prefaces simcha to sasin. Now, if you take a look at the Rashi over here, the chsev simcha v'sasin, this is going on the raya that simcha is better than sasin. Rashi says, "Akten kra l'simcha kamei sasin," which is interesting to note because one of the questions we're going to see that the Iyun Yaakov asks is, why does Rashi only explain this in the proof that Mr. Simcha is bringing to Mr. Sasan? You know, Mr. Simcha and Mr. Sasan are arguing who is better. Sasan says to Simcha, I'm much better than you, because the Pasuk says, Nishaya Sasan is Simcha Yasigu. Mr. Simcha says to Mr. Sasan, no, I'm better than you, because it says, Simcha v'sasin la Yehudim. Zakt Rashi, Simcha comes before sasin. In fact, in Yaakov, why didn't you say that in the first pasuk? When Mr. Sasin is proving that he's better than Simcha, why didn't you, Rashi, say that the raya is from the fact that sasin comes before Simcha? It's only in the second proof that you kind of explain what the logic is. Doesn't make any sense.
What's the dictionary definition of sasin?
That is a difficult question. The question is, what is the definition of simcha? What's the definition of sasin? There's many, in English it's very difficult to say. I mean, simcha we translate as happiness, but we know that there's many, many words in Lashon HaKodesh which connote these things, and there's several, I think there's at least two mahalchim in the Gra and in the Maharal. Some say simcha is more pnimi, sasin is more external, some say sasin is when it comes pisayim, it comes all of a sudden. Simcha is something which is built up. In a sasanei chalem asecha kamoitzi shalol rav, you find something pisayim, smeichim etzeisam, v'sasim bevoyam. The Maharal says that simcha is much more of a panimistic thing. He says sameich is oisyeis chamesh, when you've got the dalad and the yud, it's all focused, it's all internally. Sas is when it's misparet sahutza, kind of. Yeah, it's external size, external signs and so on. Sisu v'simcha, we say by simcha's Torah because you have to do external things. There's many things and, you know, don't want to be a mere halacha. But there's many, many different mahalchim. But, yeah.
God always go together.
Say again?
God, they always go together.
They don't always go together. What? Many times they do, they don't always,
they don't always go together.
Many times they do. Al-Kopanim, that's one horror. We'll come back to this horror of the Iyun Yaakov in a minute. So Simcha and Sasan are arguing back and forth. So Amalei Sasan la Simcha, Sasan says to Simcha, Chad Yoima Shafkucha. One day they're going to chuck you out, basically. One day they're going to get rid of you. They're going to chuck you out of Shemayim. That's where Rashi learns. Chad Yoima Shafkucha, Veshavivcha Parvanka. And they're going to make you into someone who just runs in front of others, a messenger. Simcha is going to be the messenger, the delivery boy. She says, Shuhuyira hadarachim, v'yavar, ma'abiris amayim. You'll just kind of be a messenger of sorts. So you see that, Simcha, you are on a low level. One day they're going to chuck you out. They're going to use you just to fill up jugs. They'll fill up jugs with sasin, with you. Fine. So this was a discussion between these two heretics, which Ravina and Ravashi felt it necessary to record in the Talmud Bavli. We'll see. We'll come back to this in a minute. Olei ahumino the dishmei sasin l'Rabbi Abayu, a min who was called sasin. Little bit mash, it wasn't the same one, because otherwise, you know, it seems to say there was a min who was called Sasan. Pasha seems to be a different one. Clearly a popular name for the heretics of that generation. It's interesting. Amleo mina dishmei Sasan, Rabbi Avayu, asidisu detmaluli naim la'alma d'asi. So he said, you know, I am such a chashuv person, you know, that with me in the future, in the future, they're going to pour for me mayim in the world to come. Chesiv v'shavta mayim b'zosin. Amalei yavik siv l'sosin k'dekam. Chesiv would have said to sosin, and that would imply somehow to you. Hashtad chesiv b'sosin. Now it says they're going to pour mayim through you. So you know what that means? Mashchidehu gavra, mashvinen leiguda. You're going to be skinned, and with your skin, they're going to use that skin, umalin and beimai, and they're going to fill up jugs, and therefore don't get your hopes up. Good. So, let's just mention a couple of points. So, the Maharal says over here, in this first discussion between Sasan and Simcha, he says, you know, derech haminim lefarish haksuvim al atzmim lefi sichlusim vehevlam. Yeah, this is just idle chatter of foolish heretics. And they try and apply psukim, even though it's so painful, because as the Gemara says, tshuvas and betzidon, very often if you look at the adjacent pasuk or the hemshech of the parasha and so on, and you will see very clearly the answer. You know, goyim come around saying Isaiah 53. Well, take a look at Isaiah 52, and you'll see that Isaiah 53 is not all it's cracked up to be. And that's what Chazal say whenever the minim starts, tshuvas and betzidon. But the Maharal kind of seems to downplay this whole Gemara, and this is just a silly discussion between these two imbeciles and so on. And I guess the reason why the Gemara brought it is because we mentioned Ushavtamayim Besasim. The Shem Yishmuel quotes the Maharal, and he says, Udvar Veinu Muvanim, his words are difficult to understand, Ki Teresena HaKadosha Einena Mokam Lahatik Bo Divrei Hitulim. You know, is that what Ravina and Ravashi are doing? I mean, Agav, Ushatim, I'm listening to the recording, an imbecilic conversation between these two. Ubuvadai in Yane Chachma Valimud La'adam Nir Muzukan. Must be something going on over here. So he quotes from his father, the Avni Nezer, who says basically like this, that there was a machlokes between Simcha and Sosin as to what is the tachlis of Adam in this world. Meaning, everyone agrees the tachlis is to be happy. That's what they are both saying. The question is, which type of happiness? Is it the type of happiness which is a Simcha type of happiness? Is it the Sosin type of happiness? You know, is it the internal one? Is it the external one? Which of the two is the type of happiness which one should find? The Heishivle Rabbi Avoyu said to Sosan, Kizerak Tzurich La'avoyda, Le'atachlis. You know, if you can use Simcha and you can use Sosan in Avoydas Hashem to help you, it's a lovely thing, but don't make a mistake in to think that the Tachlis is Simcha, the Tachlis is Sosan, and so on. That's what he quotes from the Avni Nezer. The Shem Yishmor goes on to develop the idea al pidarkei. That is one thing. Let's go back to the other question which you mentioned from the Iyun Yaakov. He says like this. He asks a question. Sosin went over to Simcha and said, Reb Simcha, Reb Sosin Zolzvissin, I'm better than you. I'm better than you, claimed the Mr. Simcha. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Esther and Perikhes, Simcha v'sasen la Yehudim. Fred the Iyun Yaakov l'cher kasha lamalei mevi kra hakoydim tichsev la Yehudim ayisayira v'simcha v'sasen. There's a previous pasuk which Simcha. I mean these heretics, they knew their verses, right? They knew their Bible. So why didn't he bring the pasuk earlier on? That's one question. Second question is the question which we mentioned already. Gam yish ladakdik b'pirish Rashi shepirish kan. Simcha v'sasin, hiktim kras, simcha l'sasin. Balei pirish king, v'divrei min, harishin. Again, what was the conversation? Sasin said to Simcha, I'm better than you. Why am I better than you? Because the pasuk says, it says, sasin is simcha yasigu. Rashi doesn't say anything. Simcha says to Sasin, I'm better than you, because the pasuk says, simcha v'sasin, zak Rashi, you see simchas first. Like in Yaakov, why didn't you, Rashi, say that explanation in the first raya, from Sasan to Simcha. So these are the two ha'aris of the Iyun Yaakov. So he says like this. V'yesh le'emer, the kasha l'chayra, bish le'emer, b'divri min harishin. In Sasan, who was the first min, she'amarak chad p'suka mi shaya, she'apir ka'amra ana adifna. He's got a raya, the Pasuk says, that Sasan comes before Simcha. Ma'ashenkin min hasheni, the second min, Simcha, Shehidi Apasik Lahefech, he's bringing a raya that Simcha is greater than Sasim. Heich Ka'amar Adifna. How can you say that you're better? L'chalapach Hashneim Shkulim. Okay, so there's one pasuk which says Sasim is better. There's one pasuk which prefaces Simcha. So what's your raya that you're better than him? When you heard what he told you, Sasim came over to Simcha and said, I'm better than you, because there's a verse in the Bible, in Isaiah, which says that Sosin comes before Simcha. Comes on Simcha and he says, I'm better than you, because there's a verse in Esther. Okay, but what's your idea? You're better. I mean, see, it's one and one. It's one and one. So that's why, Lizem itarts Rashi. That's what Rashi is coming to answer. Midi hiktim kolemer mardachai v'Esther shekasra megillah hiktim shenis. A second time, Mardechai came a second time. Mardechai and Esther, and they prefaced Simcha a second time. Shma minah de shina kosev la'akev. Therefore, why would the fact that they said it a second time, that is to drill home the message that Simcha is in fact better than Sosin. V'davka ka'amar de Simcha adif. Ma'ashen ken yishaya kosev rak pamachas. Yishlema derech mikra kosev kein v'kal lahavim. So, nifl de kipshat of the Iyun Yaakov. That's the answer to both of these questions. Why did he not bring the earlier pasuk in Megillas Esther? B, why didn't Rashi comment and say what he said the first time round? There it says he's bringing a raya that there's two psukim which preface Simcha to Sasan, and that is a raya. There's another fascinating piece of Iyun Yaakov over here, which the Aruch Lener is very bothered with. So what happened over here? At the end, remember there was the discussion between Sasan and Rabbi Avoyu. And Sasan said to Rabbi Avayu, you know, Ilasidlava, they're going to be serving me and I'm amazing. Rabbi Avayu said nothing. No, Ilasidlava, you know what they're going to do? Shaftimayim bisasan, with you and your skin. They're going to use it to turn into a jug and they're going to fill up water with it. Zagdi and Yaakov, here is a raya to something which I wrote in my Chuvus in Shvus Yaakov in Simon Peites, that you're allowed to be nene from the skin of a human being. That's what he says. Frag the Aruch Laner, Frag the Aruch Laner, Pala de Kazach, because of the Sebe in Yaakov, Lagoin Bal Shvus Yaakov, and so on, to raya. And that he says, "V'zet tema eich yishlechich mimasha heishiv lahatzteki derech hitul." The vada appears across of ene kain. I mean, the whole thing, you know, you said something ridiculous. Rabbi Avoyo was heishiv leiki ivaltoi. How can you spar from here ladina that you're allowed to be nene from human skin? So that is a taina of the Aruch Laner Tasha on the Iyun Yaakov. Good. Now we said what happened. They would ascend the Kevesh. They would go up the ramp, all of the Kevesh, upon the Smiley. Then Rabbanan, Kol ha'olim lemizbeach, olim derech yamin, umakifim v'yardim derech smol. As we said, usually the protocol is you always turn to the right. And you descend from the left. Chutz min ha'olim l'shleisha dvarim. Halal. Sh'olim derech smol. Here, there's three exceptions where they go to the left. V'chizin ha'leikiv, and they just kind of walk backwards. Ve'il ha'ayin, nisach ha'mayim, nisach ha'yayin, v'il ha'ayiv, k'sharob sebe mizrach. So, these things, the nisach ha'yayin, nisach ha'mayim, where they turn left immediately. And also, when it comes to the haktara of the v'il ha'ayiv, if there is insufficient place in the eastern side of the Mizbeach, then they would do it on the western side, which would cause them to go to the left. Now we said that there were these two Sfalim, and they were dark with a silver-like color. Says I understand why the one which was used for red wine had a dark appearance. But the one which was used for Mayim, why did it have a dark appearance? Being that it was common, clearly, to make mistakes and to pour the yayin into the seifel of mayim, thereby darkening the seifel of mayim, and that's the reason why, at times, that's the reason why they looked dark. Now we said, umnu kavin kimin beiz chaitmin. They had two holes in them, like nostrils. So it says the Gemara Masis and Rabbi Yehuda Lei Rabbanan. Let's say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like the Rabbanan. If you look at Rashi, 5 lines at the bottom, Rashi says Lei Masis and the boy echad meuba veechad dak. That one of the holes was wider, one was more fine. Rabbi Yehuda the Amar Shalmayim Lug. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was one lug of mayim and three lug of yayin. So, if there are going to be holes of different thickness to allow synchronizing when you would finish pouring, so it must be that we're going like Rabbi Yehuda. It says that being that the amount of yayin was three times the amount of the mayim, so you needed different sized holes in order to accommodate the difference between the two. Leimu masis nubiyudi vele rabbanan, this nan abiyudi aimer belug hayimanasa. Kol shemayna di rabbanan, if it's rabbanan ki adodin inu, they're both three lug, why would you have different sized holes? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. If it's aimer rabbanan, karma samech maya kolish, because wine is thicker than water. And if they're going to be the same size hole, so then the water is going to come out that much quicker than the wine, and therefore we can really say that it's going like the Ravana. Achanami Mistavra is talking Mistavra to say that it's going like the Ravandir of Yudah. According to Yudah, Racha Vakotza Isla, he uses a different language in expressing the difference between the size of the holes, wide and narrow, meaning kind of much wider. The Tanya Bidayim Eshnei Kasvois Hayu Sham, there were two Kalim, Echad Shalmayim Echad Shal Yain, Shal Yain Piyar Rachav. The one of the Yain had a much wider opening, meaning because it's three log, and Shalmayim, which is only one log, Piyar Kotzer. So it's there's a huge difference. It's three times the amount. So you need quite a difference in the size of the holes. Good. Now we said that Mayim, the one on the western side, was of Mayim, and some say Yishan the word Vachulu. Now we mentioned the story with this Stuki who did not believe in the whole concept of Nisach HaMayim, and because of that, they always required the one doing the Nisach HaMayim to lift up his arms so they could see the Mayim going properly into the Sefer of Mayim. And one time they saw that he didn't do the right thing. He poured it on his feet, and they pelted him with esregim. And they pelted him with their esregim. What's an amazing thing? Meaning, again, just imagine the scene. It's by the Mizbeach. You've got a kohen on duty by the Mizbeach. He clearly is at Stuki, right? He's come out of the closet. They realize who he is, and they start pelting him. And what they end up by damaging the Mizbeach. So, you know, as we mentioned before, our number one, it's fascinating to note that you're allowed to kill a Stuki who does this. What does it say you're allowed to do that? That's number one. But number two, they actually went ahead and they damaged the Mizbeach. I mean, it's not a partial thing. And it says, Le'isasim ken l'ashem l'keichem. Right? Rashi quotes the Chazal, you know, the Chiyala al-Datcha, you know, Klal Yisrael's going to go ahead and he's going to deface the Mizbeach. Ella, don't do Averis, which will be Gerim, Horeben, and so on. But here, you know, they were so convinced that they have to, you know, kill this guy, that they went ahead pelting him, and they damaged the Mizbeach. Once the Mizbeach becomes damaged, you can't use it. You can no longer use the Mizbeach. Yeah, it has to be fixed. It's got to be, just like the Rambam says, the mokum of the Mizbeach is it's a mokum meduyik ma'oid. It's an extremely precise place. So too, the Mizbeach, it's got to be a nice square. So it's fascinating. In the interim period, the Mizbeach, until they fixed it, was off limits. So, the Karen of the Mizbeach became pogum. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, are ye the avonim shezorku bay? Going back to the question as to how do we know that he died, Rashi says that they actually used stones also. So they actually used stones, and the stones were able to deface and chip away at the Mizbeach. So, yep, v'heviu bul shel melach. So they brought some salt, the sosmuhu, and they kind of, so to speak, fixed it up to make it have the appearance as if it was square. It's not kosher with this particular steamer. It's a lack of covered. But in a chanami, in the interim period, it was taken nifsal. They used esrogim and stones to kill him, and they were mazik the mizbeach, but that was something which they felt was justified. Shekol mizbeach she'ein loy kevish v'li keren v'li yisayid v'li rivua pas la'avoda. If the mizbeach is lacking any one of these four components, the kevish, the ram leading up to it, and the karanis, the yisayid, and it's not a square, it's got to be a square, that is a problem. Right, Rashi just says three lines down. Ribua, meaning she'enei meruba. If it's not square, m'hasa echad mikol elu pasul. Says Rashi. Rashi continues four lines down. The time amar revuna b'shchitus kachim kol makdam shneimer hamizbeach la'akev. So this is the way it has to appear, and it says by in reference of ribua, it says ravua yia hamizbeach. So it has to be like this. It's got to be a perfect square. Rabbi Yisir, Rabbi Yudaim, af a seiviv, it also needs to have a seiviv, that's also ma'akiv, al kaponim, that was the ma'isa. So, good. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss, so where exactly did
Rupa's question, how they had to kill him.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the answer.
I didn't give an answer. I don't know. I didn't. I looked around to see if anyone was aware of the question. No one was aware of the kasha. It seems to be Kedavra Pasha. They knew. I just did. It's interesting. Like, you know, which one of the Tayyam mitzvah, which, you know, what's the heter to go? I mean, Lamaisa, we find that, you know, maybe it just, it's not, maybe it's more the algemeine din that by, you know, minimum apikurism. But even then, there's dinim, you know, Marie din or, you know, Mala and so on. I don't know. Not sure. A spiritual raidif. Is there such a thing?
Well,
the question is that, you know, I don't know. Is there such a thing? Suggestions? Maybe he's either a spiritual raidif or because of his avoida, he's gonna be prevent, you know, the gashmistika brachas from coming to Klal Yisrael, which possibly might end in some type of, yeah, so maybe. I'm sorry.
Could it be, Rabbi? Could it be?
Maybe.
Rabbi, could it be?
Yeah.
Could it be a masit madia? I mean, he's giving new explanation to the Torah. I mean, he's inventing. Yeah,
he's not necessarily being masis or madia. He's not necessarily telling anyone to serve avodah zara. It's a din in avodah zara. He just doesn't believe in Teresh Baal Peh. So he says, I don't believe that there's a concept of Nisach HaMayim. I'm not going to do it. And he's passionate about his conviction. He's not being made as Medea to do Avodah Zarah.
He came out of
Kodesh
Kudushim. He did the Seder.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we mentioned. In fact, the Rebbein Hanan, you know, questions, was this the same person from Maseches Yuma? So there's a din as to who this man was. Now the girl gets into a discussion as to where exactly did the Mayim and the Yayin go. Now we know there is this concept known as the Shisin. Shimimeno Hushta Sa'olam, this kind of place where it would kind of go all the way down to the depths, some hole where the Mayim and the Yayin would go down, and ultimately would go all the way down to some very deep, deep cavity, which kind of reaches the Tahoim, which reaches the depths. And we're going to have a discussion as to whether this was something which was Nivra from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is this, no, when we speak about this Shisin, we're actually referring to something which is more of a man-made thing. So Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yechanan Shisin Mishishis Mevereshis Nivru. This was something which was created Mishishis Mevereshis. Shenemar. The Bosik says in Shashir, it says that chamuki rechayech, so the it's concealed like your thighs, are concealed like halayim, like jewels, and it's the handiwork of a craftsman. So chamuki rechayech, so your thighs are concealed elo hashisin. So it's also lashon rabbim. This is referring to these shisin, that's a reference to that, and this is, you know, this is Klal Yisrael being Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kameh Haloyim Shimachu Lolin V'yaridin Ad HaTahoyim. It goes all the way down to the depths. And this is Ma'aseh the Amon. Zu Ma'aseh Yidei Umnusei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanit V'yirbi Shmol Bereshis Altik Rebarashis Elabarashis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shisin. Again, so another raya, but this is something which was Nivra. This is part of Baisa Barashis. Tanya Bezi Mishisin Mechulalin V'yardin Ad Tahayim. It is hollow and it goes down to the depths. Shinamar. Ashira Na Li Didi Shiriz Deidi Lakarmi. So I will sing to my beloved a song of Deidi, of my love about his vineyard, about his Karen. Karen Hoyo Li Didi, the Karen Ben Shaman. So my beloved had a Karen in the Karen of Ben Shaman. And the Gemara is going to darshan all of these things. Vayas Keo, and kind of encircled it with a fence of swords. So I saw Kul, and Vayasal Keo, and removed all of the stones, Vayitaeu Serik, and planted a branch, a shoot, Vayiven Migdal Vasechai, and built a tower inside it, Vigam Yakev Chatzav Bay. and also hewed a vat inside it. What does this mean? Vayitayu Serek Ze Beis HaMikdash. We know the Beis HaMikdash is called Serek. So that's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Even Migdal B'Seichai Ze Mizbeach. This tower is a reference to the Mizbeach. V'Gam Yakev Chatzav Bayu. There was a vineyard which was hewn into it. Elu Hashisim. This is a reference to the Shisim. So we've seen several opinions which seem to imply that the Shisim is the handiwork. It's the Maisi of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas Tanya Amar Balazib Reb Tzaduk Lu Katan Hayah Bein Kevesh L'Mizbeach. Imagine you are walking up the Kevesh right before you go to the actual Mizbeach. Towards your left, there is a long strip. There's like a hole. It's a lul katan, rectangular shaped hole. Bein kevesh and mizbeach, between the kevesh and the mizbeach. B'maravi shel kevesh, on the western side, which is to the left. The achas l'shivim shana, pirchei kehuna yardim l'sham, u'malaktim l'sham yain karish. Once every 70 years, the young kahanim and the pirchei kehuna, Rashi says it's the yaladim kahanim, they would go down into this area, yardim l'sham, umalaktin misham, yain karish, and they would extract the congealed wine, shedeme le'igule dvela, which now kind of looks like some type of a cake of oppressed figs, and so on. Uboyin the sarfane say the kedusha, and they would burn it, the kedusha. So they would treat it as if it was kaddish. If you look at Rashi, four lines on the bottom, the sarfane say the kedusha b'makim kaddish ba'azara u'mitich hashisin mitziyin esay. So this, according to Rashi, was something. This was the shisin. So this was not something which went all the way down to the depths of the earth. But it was clearly a finite cavity, and they would go. Rashi says, "Shalay yismalu ashisim in anasachem shkol gabanis atzibra vayachatunim nasachem chutz mi chatzav ashem." The sarfenei sam shasurin behana. The kodesh still retained kedusha, so they would burn it. Shenemar bakodesh aseich nesach sheichal Hashem. Rashi says, "Shenemar bakodesh aseich hikish sreifa le nisuchay." Meaning the word kodesh is going to have a reference to sreifa, so it mentions sreifa and it mentions nesachim. So you see, there's a comparison that things which you have to be menasech, like the yain, you have to burn. So we say kishim shenisucha bekedusha, just like when you're menasech it, it's done bekedusha. Kach sreifa say bekedusha. Rashi says, "Mani sucha b'kedusha lo yalech mihacha elish esrifasa b'kedusha." We're not bringing a proof that the nisuch was done b'kedusha. We know that was done b'kedusha. We're just bringing a proof that it needs to be burnt. V'loy b'chel chutz la'zara aval hitzosei misham pshita le'kedish le'yismalu. So they had to take it out, that's pashut, but they had to burn it in a state of kedusha. Says the Gemara, my mash, where do you see that? I'm ravina asya kodesh kodesh k'siv hacha ba kodesh asich me'asich k'siv hasam v'saraf tisanese ba'eish la'yechol ki kodesh hu. So you see the lashon of kedusha, there is a reference to eish, and therefore says Rav Elazar ben Tzadok, this shisin was not something which kind of went all the way down to the depths, but rather it was limited, and every so often they would go and they would extract the congealed wine from there. Kamana Ozla, Haldisnan, and Nesachim, Batrila, Moilin Ben. Initially, when it comes to the Nesachim, there is Me'ila. Rashi says, three lines down, Misha Hukdashu. From the time you are makdish them ad shnisnaschu yesh ben meila to kachi gevaininu. So until the time that you are menasech them, there is meila. Yardu l'shisin, once it descends into the shisin, ein moilin ben, then there's no more meila. So says the Gemara, lemar b'zrim tzadiki. So the very fact that we are dining on presumably something relevant, and we're saying once it's gone into the Shisin, there's no more Me'ilah, it must be going like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, who says the Shisin was a finite cavity which was accessible, which you could go and extract, and therefore there's a Dion as to whether or not there is or is not Me'ilah. De'i Rabbanan, because if it's going like the Rabbanan, Anachsu lehu l'taim, it's gone all the way down into the time. It's totally inaccessible. So it's a totally irrelevant tziur. You'd never have a case of extracting yain from the shisin because it's gone 20,000 leagues and then some under the earth, and the whole thing is irrelevant. It's hypothetical. Says the Gemara, no. Afidatim rabbanin bidiklit. Maybe you could say a case where you lowered some bucket so that it's somewhere down, 2 miles down into the Shisin, and if it would go, and you would catch it and trap it, maybe you would still be able to prove that there's no more Me'ilah, and the reason why is because it doesn't have itself Gavai anymore, so you don't necessarily have a Raya that it's going like Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik.
If there's no Me'ilah, then there's no Kedusha, presumably. And then why do they burn the conjured wine within the Zohar?
The question is, if there's no Me'ilah, there's no Kedusha, why do you burn it? Often you have to burn things, it's exerus akasav, you have to burn things, even though Me'ilah specifically has to do with nasis mitzvase. That's the klal. There's no Me'ilah. Once the mitzvah has been done, then there's no Me'ilah. Once the karbonis have become disqualified, also, there's not going to be any Me'ilah. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there's no Din Sreifa. Those two things are not linked.
But the Sreifa will be done outside the Azor if it had no Kedushin,
But sometimes yes and sometimes no. I mean, that's very much dependent on the particular thing we're dining on. Says about the Igad Amrita, those who say, Lema Rabbanani, Valer Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. That maybe we have a ride, this is going like Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. The E, Rabbi Elazar, Akati, Bikdusha Sayu Kaimi. According to him, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, it still is in a state of Kedusha. If you look at Rashi 4 lines down, Igad Amri Lema, Hadig Tani Yardu Lashis, Ein Meulin, Rabbanani, the Iklet, Ein Meulin, and the Ein Ben Ma'at Tzerch Gavoya, the Rabbi Elazar Kati and Bikdusha Sayu Kaimi, the Kama Sarfani said Bikdusha, meaning to the extent that you must burn it in that state of Kedusha, Alma Kedusha Se'aleim, Midibo Sreifa. So the very fact that it requires Sreifa B'makam Kaddish, so maybe that would be it. And the truth is, you're right, from here it does seem to imply that those two things do go together, from the fact that it still is, it must be the Rabbanan, because according to Rabbi Elazar, it still would retain its Kedusha, because it says you're serving it B'makam Kaddish. And I guess that goofus seems to be the Shaklavataria. Now, it could still be, according to Rabbi Elazar, but Me'ilah is different, because once it's Nasas Mitzvah, say, and the Nisuch is the Ikra Mitzvah, and therefore it no longer has any Kedusha. Let's just mention an interesting Ha'ara. There is a famous tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi in Siman Ayin Hei speaks about what happens if you have, let's say you have a piece of treif meat. You have a piece of chazer treif, and it's been left out for 12 months. Or let's say you have a keli which was used for chazer treif. Or let's say you have a keli which was used for chametz and pesach. And now it's 12 months have passed. It says the Chacham Tzvi, Kol Dvar Meichel Shehuchzik Ba'efin Ragil, Harei Miskalkal Achiyud Beis Chedesh V'nechshav Hu Ke'ether, V'dinei Ha'iser Shalei Paikim. It's no longer considered to be Aser. I mean, after 12 months, it's decayed, it's not the food anymore. And therefore, said the Chacham Tzvi to his Talmidim, who wanted to Aser, someone who used chametz dikei kelim 2 years ago, now to cook Pesach dikei food, they wanted to aser it. And said the Chacham Tzvi, you're making a mistake. He says, according to you, Afim Bishlu Bekder Achazeh Elef Shonim Chametz V'Yachach Bishlu Baba Pesach Yeser HaTavshu V'Zedover She'en Adas Seiv Lase. Well, why stop at 2 years, says the Chacham Tzvi. He used it 1,000 years ago. You know, the times of the Goyim, it was used for Chametz. And now it's used on Pesach, you're going to ask for it. He says, it's just an impossibility. Says the Chacham Tzvi, I'm not going to allow this lechatchila. Right? Like he says, le'molu libay lahatir lavash l'chametz b'kdeira. But b'di'evit, if you use the chametz thick apart, and it was after 12 months, you could be mekel. Roiv poiskim reject the Chacham Tzvi. First and foremost, his brother-in-law, the Panim Iris, rejects it, but nevertheless, it is used at times. It is used at times as a snif lahakel. For instance, Rav Meisha has a tshuva in Yodei Chilek Beis Simen Mem Vav that he speaks about an individual who is about tshuva, and his family left him this beautiful set of porcelain crockery and so on. It hasn't been used for years, says Rav Meisha. Betsirev with the Chacham Tzvi and doing a Hagala 3 times, you could be makel to use it, and so on. Exactly. Some say, we'll just finish, some say perhaps there's a raya from our sugya that Ein Macholos Asuris Miskalkel after Yud Beis Chodesh. You see that food is not Miskalkel after Yud Beis Chodesh because it mentions over here that there's still Kedusha in the Yain of the Nesachim even after 70 years. You see, it still is considered to be something which is viable. On that, the Achronim say it's not necessarily a proof. And one of the things which the Shalom Eishif says to disprove this is that the Chacham Tzvi was speaking about a case where you have food and it's just left for 12 months. But here, what's going on? There's wine, and then, okay, it's left. But then new wine comes, and then new wine comes. It's always absorbing from the new wine, and that's always kind of it's being boleya, the new wine, it kind of rejuvenates it and so on, and therefore he says perhaps you don't necessarily have a proof of Korpanim. There is this tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi and Siman Ein Hey, the Pashtus that the Achronim reject it, but it is at times used as a sniff laugh.